Everyone, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome you this morning to our Easter morning service, and what a great reason we've got to be together this morning. A big welcome if you're watching online. Hope you'll feel the blessing as well as we worship God together. I know Easter Sunday is a very important day in the Christian calendar, very pivotal. Without Easter morning, without Jesus rising again from the dead, the Christian has no hope at all of ever being in heaven. And so we've got great reason to praise God this morning for all that he did, thanking Jesus for all that he did on the cross, which we remembered on Friday, taking the penalty for the sins that we had done. But today we can see death being defeated through Jesus coming back to life. And so that's going to be the theme of our service this morning. But before we get going with the song, we're going to pray together. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you so much for Easter morning, that we can come here and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the love that you showed to this world, that even though people like us gathered in this room have sinned against you, we've done wrong, we've turned our back on you, and yet, Father God, it's your desire to have people like us in your family. So you sent Jesus, your only Son, to die on the cross, to take the penalty of our sin, and for that we thank you. And this morning, Lord, our focus is on how he rose again from the dead, defeating death and the grave, so that those that trust him do not have to fear death and can look forward to an eternity in heaven with you when the great day comes that you call us home or you come again. So this morning, Lord, please focus our minds and bless us, we pray, with a great time of worship and remembering all that Jesus has done for people like us. We pray in his name now. Amen. Well, our hope of heaven is all fixed on Jesus. There's nothing about what we've done. The things that we try and do don't always work out very well. And so we're going to start our first song, which is, what is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. That's our hope, is Jesus Christ. So let's stand if you can and sing loud to God's praise.
Our souls can end beyond, where those are days, we've been inside.
Now this morning, as part of our worship, we'll be having some Bible readings and prayers, and our assistant pastor Mark will be doing a talk for us as well, which we're really looking forward to. Now every Sunday morning, the young children meet at 10 o'clock for a group called Thrive, and they learn about the Bible, do activities and games and crafts, and learn all good things about God. And they've got a video to show us in just a second, but just to say that if you know someone who's primary school age who would like to come along, then do invite them along. They'd be very, very welcome. And if you know kids are a bit older, then there's also a group that meet upstairs at 10 o'clock called Rooted, and we similarly do Bible studies, and we go through and do activities and get to know God's work better. Now, we're going to watch a video now about what Thrive have been doing, looking at the Easter story. If you're watching online, you won't see any video. You may hear the audio. But just to let you know that, so don't retune your sets. Do come back, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. And let's have a look and see what Thrive are doing. And after that, John will come and pray for us.
Easter time, and we are using these special eggs to tell a story of what happened so long ago and why we remember Easter at such a special time.
Jesus entered Jerusalem as its king, riding on a donkey. The people welcomed him and gladly they waved palm branches and cried out, "God bless the king who comes in the name of the Lord."
Judas was a thief. He saw an opportunity to make more money, so he went to the religious leaders, the Pharisees and scribes, and offered to betray Jesus. Judas offered to give Jesus to them. They promised to pay Judas money.
Jesus had a special meal with his disciples. To their great surprise, he took a towel and water and began to wash their feet. This was usually the servant's job. Although Jesus was God, the Son, he came to serve, especially by dying for us. "But it is a good lesson for us too," Jesus said. "If I, then your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have forgiven you an example." At the Last Supper, Jesus gave his disciples bread and wine. The wine shows us there is now a new covenant or agreement. His blood reminds us that if we believe, our sins will be forgiven. Jesus said, "This cup shows the new agreement that God makes with his people. This new agreement begins with my blood, which is poured out for you." Jesus himself went with the disciples to a garden of Gethsemane. There he prayed to his Father for strength to face the trouble ordeal ahead. In his agony, Jesus prayed, "Father, you can do all things. Let me not have this cup of suffering, but do what you want, not what I want." Thank you.
Judas came to the garden and betrayed Jesus with a kiss. Jesus was arrested and treated very badly. The soldiers beat Jesus and mocked him because of his claim to be the king. They made him a crown, but not a proper crown. They used thorny branches to make a crown. Then they called out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They made fun of him, but bowing on their knees and worshipping him.
Pilate gave orders that Jesus was to be crucified. There he died on the cross, dying not for his own sins, but for the sins of others. Christ carried our sins in the body of the cross.
The soldiers didn't want to tear Jesus' clothes, so they decided to cast lots. It's a bit like us throwing a dice. Hundreds of years before, God had said that this would happen. The soldiers said, "We should throw lots to see who will get it." So the soldiers did this. John 19, verse 24.
After Jesus died, a soldier stuck his side with a spear and something happened, showing that he really was dead. One of the soldiers stuck his spear into Jesus' side. And went blood and water came out.
Disciples went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus they could bury him. They treated his body with great care. Those two men took Jesus' body and wrapped it with spices in pieces of linen cloth. John 19, verse 40.
There was a rich man named Joseph who gave his own tomb up for the body of the Jesus put in. He rolled a very large stone to block the entrance of the tomb.
We've got one last egg. You might think Easter is sad story, and so it is in some ways, but it doesn't end on a sad note. 3 days later, women who loved Jesus went to the tomb.
When they got there, the stone was rolled away. They looked inside. Apart from the grave clothes, the tomb was empty. Jesus wasn't there because Jesus was alive again. The angel said, "Jesus is not here. He has risen from the dead."
First class video, wasn't it? Thank you very much, all of you who took part. It was very brave of you, and it looked fun, and it's reminded us things about Jesus, so thank you for that. So we're going to join together in prayer now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in thanksgiving and in praise this morning. We thank you that in your kindness you give us so many good gifts, things which we really enjoy at this time of year. We thank you for the lovely food we have. Thank you that we often have meetups with family and friends, which we enjoy. Thank you that the youngsters get time off school, that some of the rest of us perhaps have extra holiday. We thank you to see the spring start and the flowers and the prospect of a warmer week. And all of these things we enjoy, and we praise you for your kindness. But we especially praise you for Jesus. We thank you for what the children said, and which has taken us through the things that happened over this weekend. And we are amazed at the love of Jesus in coming into this world, and not just in coming, but in serving, and not just in serving, but in going all the way to the cross with all that that meant, to open up a way to you so that we could be forgiven, so that our guilt could be taken away. We thank you so much for Jesus. And we especially praise you for what we think about this morning, that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was alive again, that he proved that he had paid the price for all the guilt and the sin of others. We thank you we can be forgiven through him. We thank you that we know that if we trust in him, we have eternal life. Lord, we praise you for the relief and the joy and the celebration and the hope and the praise that comes because of Easter. And we do pray that you will help us to understand it better. We pray that for those that are younger here, but we go up through the years to the different stages and ages, and we pray that we may, maybe for the first time, understand how important it is what Jesus has done, or that we might have it freshly come in our understanding with a new sense of power and love for what Jesus has done. We thank you we can hear about that today, and we pray for Mark as he teaches us later. Lord, do help him and bless us all. Point us to Jesus, because we need to hear about him. We pray all this in his name. Amen.
Thank you, John. Well, we're going to have our first reading after our next song, and the reading's going to be read by Emily, who's one of the friendly teachers from Thrive. But we're going to sing a song now that kind of goes through the whole of Jesus's life. So we start at Christmas, so Jesus being born in a stable, and by the time we get to the third verse, we're thinking of things that are more relevant to this weekend. So if you can, please stand and let's sing together.
Rivers. Matthew 28, verse 1 to 10. Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
Okay, good morning, good morning, good morning. And a special welcome to you, children. I've got some questions for you this morning. Have you got your thinking brains on? Yeah? Okay. Right, the first question, just to get us thinking, is this. Why might people start to run somewhere? Why might people start running somewhere? Yeah.
When they're in a hurry to go somewhere.
Yeah, when they're in a hurry. Yeah, so especially adults. Yeah, some of us adults don't run lots all the time. But if we're in a hurry, we get a move on, don't we? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what about anything else? Yeah. To get away from something, absolutely. Yeah, like if someone asking you to do a job. Yeah. Yeah, or maybe if it's something dangerous. Yeah, any other reasons why I might run? Maybe the adult's having a think too. I've had a bit of a think as well. Any other reasons why I might start running? Yeah. Yeah, if you want to do exercise and you want to be healthy and fit, you might go for a run. Absolutely. There's a hand over here. No, not sure. Should we show you some of the ideas I came up with? Okay, so what about if you go to a play park and you think, "I want to go on that," and you run to it because you're like, "I want to have a go in those tunnels." It looks fun, doesn't it? Yeah. Or what about this? So some people might go on a marathon run. I think they're a bit silly, but some people seem to enjoy it. And they go because they enjoy running. So some people, they enjoy running. And it's a bit of a race, and you get that feeling of completion, don't you? But some people just enjoy running. If you're playing sport, people do a lot of running, don't they? If they're chasing a ball or a shuttlecock or whatever, in PE, you do a lot of running around. But maybe you see people running, and they might be in a suit. And you think, what are they doing running in a suit or a dress? They're not ready for running. What are they doing? Well, maybe it's because they've been trying to catch a train. And it's quite amusing, isn't it? If you're on the train and you see someone running, it's not so funny when it's yourself. It's quite stressful. But when you see someone hurrying along, going over the bridge, it's quite amusing. Will they make it? Will they make it? But they're running because they want to get there on time. It has an impact. What about this? Who likes baking here? Yeah, I know some of you like baking. Excellent. Maybe some of you adults love cooking. And maybe you've had that moment where you've put some, cookies in the oven, and then suddenly you remember that you've forgotten about them. And maybe you don't just dawdle out to the kitchen. You run out to the kitchen, and you open it up quick, and you look, and maybe they're just about all right, and you caught them just before they got too burnt. And you're very thankful for that. Why else might you run? Well, this is a bit more of a serious one, but this is, who can tell me where this is? Maybe some of you children can tell me where this is. Do any of you recognise it? Yeah. Seven Sisters or Beachy Head, it's that area. Yeah, called the Seven Sisters. And it's one of my favourite places in the world. Not that I've seen a lot of the world, but it's one of my favourite places. I love going there. It's beautiful, but it's also dangerous. There aren't fences along, and it's a big drop. And do you know, I was there once, and this little child had started running towards the edge. Now, they were still a bit of a way away, but I just saw the mum just run as fast as they could after the child and grab them and say, "Don't go near the edge. If you go there, you have to stay well away from the edge where it's safe." But sometimes people might run because of danger. But also, sometimes people might run because of good news. They want to tell someone something. So, maybe not for you, but maybe for some of you in the gallery or some of you in yours, maybe you're doing your driving. And maybe you've been trying for a while and you eventually pass. It might be that you run into your house and you want to tell people, it's good news, you've finally passed. And you run in with the good news. Or maybe for your children, you've got a sticker at school, or you've done something and the teacher said, I'm going to speak to your parent at the end of school because you've done such a good job today. And you run out to them at the end of school and you tell them everything you've done, and it's good news. Well, I think that the story of Easter, the historical account of Easter, is good news. And it is news that is worth running for, even for people that don't particularly like running. It's news that is worth running for. Now, I was listening to an advert this week, and it said about thinking about Christmas, no, Easter. Get it right. Thinking about Easter. And it said, maybe you're thinking about Easter, and we immediately think about eggs in foil. But what we should be thinking about, and I thought it's going to say Jesus, of course it didn't. What it said was lamb. And it was this wonderful thing of a third off a lamb leg. And that was the excitement of this advert. Now, for me, chocolate Easter eggs and lamb are genuinely two of my favourite things to eat in life. They're right at the top of my list. But is that really the best that we can think about at Easter? Is that why we get so excited at Easter, a bit of food? No, it's good, but there's something much better news. Is that there's an empty tomb. That is much better than even the best food or even the best holiday that we can enjoy. And this is what's happened. So there's been these women and they've gone to the tomb. And they've gone because they saw Jesus crucified and they've gone to mourn his death. And so they go to the tomb and they're feeling incredibly sad. But there's an earthquake, you might have heard it in the reading, and there's an angel. Let me just read it again, a little bit of what we had read to us. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he's risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb, and then notice what it says, and ran to tell his disciples. Now, I don't expect these women did a lot of running in those days. In fact, a lot of adults didn't do a lot of running in those days. But they ran because this was amazing news. Jesus wasn't there. He had risen from the dead. And so they run to tell the disciples because this is news worth running for. But it's interesting how they're feeling. And children, it's a bit of a shame. You know when letters get mixed up on the computer? It's happened again, would you believe it? I wonder if you can help me. How did they feel, these women? It was in the reading. Can you help me unscramble the words? So Rafe and Tegra Oij. Yeah, you think you know? Great joy. Yeah, that's the bottom one. Great joy. What's the top one? It's only four letters, but it's tricky, isn't it? Fear, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fear and great joy. That's what they're experiencing as they're running to tell the disciples. This is what they're experiencing. Now, another question for you. Told her, get you thinking. What things might make you scared? I won't ask the adults because it's embarrassing for them to say this, but what sort of things might make you scared? Or what might make other people scared? What sort of things? Falling out of bed, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, or dreaming and walking and, yeah. Yeah. Heights, yeah, absolutely, and the legs go wobbly. Yeah, I saw someone up high recently with very wobbly legs. It was hilarious. Yeah, anything else? We won't name him, but he was called Charlie. Anything else you might be scared of? Drop slides. Yeah, do you know, I went on one of those for the first time about 2 weeks ago. It was scary, actually. Yeah. Okay, what about This then, what things make you happy? What things might make you happy? Wow, does nothing really make you happy? Yeah, go on, yeah. Playing with your friends, absolutely. Yeah. Sorry? Chocolate. Too right. Yeah. No school. No school, yeah, holidays. Yeah. Go and see grandma, yeah, or family. Yeah, go on, one more. Watching the Artemis 2 launch. Very good. Yeah, absolutely. Did you stay up for that? Goodness me, that was late. Wow. But isn't it interesting that often what we find scares us, or what we find gives us fear, and what makes us happy are two very different things, aren't they? Often. But you know, with this, these women had fear and great joy at the same time. They had a lot of fear and a lot of great joy at the same time. And so the question is, why did they have fear? Well, you've got to remember that these women had seen Jesus crucified a couple of days before. They'd watched him die. And they're going to a tomb with Roman soldiers outside. It's not surprising that when there's an earthquake and an angel and Jesus is gone, that they realize that there is something supernatural going on here. That this is not the sort of one in a billion chance event. That this is God's power on display. And it is something that makes them feel afraid. And to some extent, we should feel a bit like that this morning. You know, as we come on this Easter morning and we celebrate Easter and it's great, but there should be a sense of awe at what God has done. The Bible makes this huge claim that Jesus rose from the dead. And there should be a sense of fear at God's power. Well, why the great joy? Why did these women have great joy? Well, they knew Jesus. They loved him and they knew that he cared for them. He cared for them in a way that many other religious leaders and many other people didn't. And he was their friend. And suddenly he's alive again. They go to mourn and be sad. And now they're filled with joy because he's alive again. And he's their leader. He was their Messiah. And you know, for us, we didn't know Jesus on earth. We didn't know him in the same way that they did. And yet, we can have great joy too, because Jesus has crushed death. Jesus won, death nil. Final result, he wins. And death is the last enemy. It's the thing that causes so much grief and hopelessness in life. It's the thing that people spend so much money on trying to delay. People spend so much time trying not to think about. And Jesus comes and he crushes death. He defeats it. He conquers it. And that is the good news for you and me. Is that Jesus says, if you put your trust in me, I can do the same for you. I can give you eternal life. You can conquer death through Jesus. You can go to be with Jesus in the new creation, the new world. That is the hope of Easter. And it is better than bunnies and Easter eggs. Is that Jesus has conquered death. And so I didn't say, but this is part one. There is a little short part two as well. But we see that in part one, they've run to tell others. In part two, we'll see that there are people who run to see this for themselves. Okay, we're going to sing a song. It's a triumphant Easter song. See what a morning gloriously bright. So again, if you're able to stand, please do.
Jesus. first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloth lying there, and the face cloth which had been laying on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead.
Lovely. Thank you, Molly. Excellent reading. Okay, I've got some good news for UFU and Thrive. Okay, you ready for this? And that is, well, if you believe me, that is, that I've got a little packet of Haribo Eggs Galore for you. Okay? Well, if you believe me. Who recognises where this picture is? Yeah, go on, point to it. Yeah, it's over there, isn't it? What about this picture? Yes, Caitlin. It is at the back. It's over there. Lovely. Okay, right. So I've put two little trays of these packets of sweets. All right. And there's some down there and there's some there. Okay. Now, the question is, do you believe me? I'm going to give you 20 seconds to see if I'm telling the truth. All right? But if you don't get them in the 20 seconds, you don't have them, okay? Okay, go. Let's see. That's one way of doing it. Are you going to share them out, Harvey? And if you can maybe hold on to them to the end of the service, it won't be very long. And I have got a few more for any adults that are feeling left out as well. There you go. Now, I told you, hadn't I, that they were there. But you had to go and see for yourself, were they actually there? And to benefit from it, you had to go and see, didn't you? If you had to still be sitting there, you wouldn't have any sweets. You had to go and find it. And you know, that's what the disciples had to do, because they got told, Peter and John got told, that the tomb was empty. And they're like, we've got to go and see this for ourselves, because they're really confused. And so they go to see for themselves. They leave their house and they run to see what's going on. This is what it says in John chapter 20. So Peter went out with the other disciple. Now the other disciple here is John, who's the one writing it. So he describes himself as the other disciple, but he's talking about himself. And they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I always love that detail. John's like, by the way, I did win the race. And then we've got this bit. And who of you has done some laundry? Where you have to fold up clothes maybe after washing. Do any of you do that? You do a little bit. Yeah, it's a good skill. Yeah, maybe a little bit. And they get there and all the cloths that Jesus had are neatly folded up. They're not sort of scattered all over the place. It's neatly folded. Jesus is just kind of risen from the dead, and then just folded things very neatly. And it says, then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. Peter had gone in first. He saw and believed. Now, this morning, we can't do that, can we? We can't run to the tomb. Imagine if we could do that. Even if we found the right tomb, of course Jesus wouldn't be there. So we can't do what they did. We can't be like, right, I'm going to go and see for myself. But we can still investigate for ourselves. And I want to encourage any of you who are a bit older maybe to really investigate this for yourself. To spend time looking at the resurrection, to look at the evidence, to see for yourselves, to put in the effort, to run as it were, to go and find out. Now, who can tell me, I think one of you might be able to help with this, who can tell me why this was in the news this week? Why is this? I thought you might have an idea. Anyone else know why the moon's been in the news this week? Yeah. Well, he is, isn't he? The whole universe, the Bible says. Absolutely. Yeah. What were you going to say, Harvey? Yeah, the rocket with the astronauts has gone to the moon, hasn't it? I think they're still on their way there, are they? But they were, I saw something this morning where they were talking about it. And they were talking about the fact that they can take pictures of the Earth and the world. And there were some stunning pictures of the world. And yet they say you just can't capture it on camera. They're just blown away by the majesty of the world and just its beauty. And they just like, it is so worth it. This, you just got to see this for yourself. Of course, many of us never will. But for them, it is well worth seeing. And it's a bit like that with the resurrection. That I want to encourage you to investigate for yourself, to see it for yourself, to read the accounts of Jesus. Maybe read some good books. We can give you recommendations if you want. But investigate for yourself. And maybe you think, well, is it worth it? You know, there are lots of things in life that people know all sorts of things about, but I don't really care. What about the resurrection of Jesus? Well, the resurrection of Jesus is a little bit in some ways like that block at the bottom, in that it is completely foundational to the entire Christian faith. And if you were to take out the resurrection of the Christian faith, then imagine it wasn't true, then it doesn't just make Easter a bit more boring. It doesn't just sort of take away another celebration. The whole of Christianity just collapses. It is the resurrection that the Christian faith is built on. And of course, the thing we believe here is that because of the resurrection, everything else holds up. That Jesus is the Son of God. That he is the Messiah who came to die for our sins and to rise again. And so I want to plead with you, if you haven't already, to investigate, to spend time looking at this and spending more time finding out more about Jesus. That's what the disciples did. They ran to find out for themselves. But what's interesting is that they don't fully understand it when they get to the tomb. So it says John believed, but even he didn't quite understand what was going on. And Peter, they're trying to work, what's gone on? Is he definitely risen? He's not here, is he definitely risen? How does this all make sense? And they're trying to get their heads around it. And then Peter, he meets Jesus. And he starts thinking about what the Bible's been saying, the Old Testament has been saying. If you've been here on a Sunday morning, you know we've been going through Isaiah. And I suspect he started thinking through bits of Isaiah and he's like, hang on a minute. And he starts realizing that it's all been building up to the death and resurrection of Jesus. This was all part of his plan. And shortly after this, Peter, who a little while ago was afraid to even say he knew Jesus, is standing in front of thousands of people declaring this to them. Now, the words are slightly complicated, but the basic idea is pretty simple. Peter says, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up to death, according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. You see, Peter's now understanding this was all part of God's plan. That Jesus' death wasn't some tragic accident that he had thought it was. It wasn't a reason for despair. It was a reason for celebration that God's plan had gone through. And God has raised him up. He sees, yeah, God's done this. And he understands what it was all about. As he reads the rest of the Bible, he begins to understand what Easter is all about. And so I just want to finish with this. This is kind of the takeaway message, as it were. If you were to have a little bag and take away a message of what Easter's all about, this is what Peter tells us to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. See, Peter understands that all of us have sinned against God, that many of the people he was speaking to had literally crucified Jesus. But he understands that we've all done wrong, and he understands that Jesus came so that he could forgive us. And so he says, repent, confess your sins before God, trust in Jesus Christ, and you will know forgiveness for your sins. And more than that, you'll be raised to new life with Jesus on the final day. That is the good news of Easter. And so, as you go away from this place, I just want to encourage you to think about the resurrection a bit more if you haven't already. But also think about what Peter says is the takeaway message. Repent, say sorry to God, and follow him. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Well, if you have any questions or any comments, do feel free to chat to myself or anyone else you know afterwards. We'd be pleased to chat. Well, we're going to sing our final song. It's another song of triumph. Glory to Jesus, risen, conquering Son. So again, if you can, let's stand and sing together.
Thank you.
before we close in prayer, just a few things to bring to your attention. If you've got time afterwards, please do hang around. There's tea and refreshments in the hall, so do stay around so we can chat to you. And just to pick up on a point that Mark raised about, if you are interested in exploring for yourself what Christianity means, what Easter means, and what does Christianity mean, then we are running an Exploring Christianity course starting in the week, beginning the 20th of April. And if that interests you, if you've got questions, you don't have to get stuck. You don't have to interact if you don't want to, other than the listening part. But if you won't be asked to pray or anything like that. If you'd like to come along, you've got big questions that you'd like answered, then Martin and Jane are running the course. Martin's over the back there. I can't see where Jane is. If you're interested, speak to them or come to me or Mark or anyone else that you know worships here. And we can get that sorted for you. It'd be lovely to have you along. We have a service tonight at 6:30, which you're all welcome to. And after, we've got an extra time of worship with some extra song singing. And should be a really nice time together to celebrate Easter as well. And we have services every Sunday morning at 11:15 and in the evening at 6:30. And you're always welcome. It'll always be lovely to see you. And as I said earlier, 10 o'clock, we have the children and young people's teaching. You'll be very welcome to come along. It'll be nice to see you. We have two other things I've got to say to you. Oh, yes. The Thrive kids have been busy colouring in some eggs in the hall with the Easter story, things that we've heard about today. So if you have got 5 minutes to hang around, do go and see what they've been up to in there. And there are also some chocolate eggs for the children. And I think the children's age range is extended up to the top of Rooted. So if you're under 18, you can go and see Auntie Ray out in the hall. Brilliant. Well, let's pray together to finish. Father, we thank you so much that we have today to celebrate Jesus coming again, the very foundation of our faith. And for that, we're truly thankful. For Lord, without you, we can do nothing. And our hope of eternity would be completely lost. We thank you that you are still in the business of saving souls. That, Lord, you care about each one of us. And it's your heart's desire to have all people come to you. But Lord, sometimes we're a bit stubborn and selfish and we want to do our own thing. Please forgive us, Lord, and bring us to yourself. We thank you for the hope that Jesus brings. We thank you for the way that he took the penalty that we deserve to pay for our sins. He took it on himself on the cross, but then he gave us freedom and new life when he broke the chains of death and came alive again. And we thank you this morning. I pray as we leave, we won't just quickly forget what we've heard, but that it will do us good. And it will bring us a joy and a hope that can only be found in following you. Father, we thank you for every blessing that you give to us day to day. Help us to trust you and love you more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.